care of herself. Okay. The topic of today's shiur is the mitzvah of peru urvu. Okay. So. The Torah says in Bereishis, "Vayivarcho Hashem Elokim v'Yemlo Elokim peru urvu u'mulus ha'aretz v'chivshuha." So, this is the mitzvah that we have of peru urvu, and the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Mishnah actually, Samach Aleph Amud Beis, that there's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How do you fulfill peru urvu? Beis Shammai says Shnei Zecharim, and Beis Hillel says Zachar Unikeva. So Beis Shammai says you have two sons, you fulfill peru urvu. And Beis Hillel says a son and a daughter. If you have a son and a daughter, you fulfill peru urvu. Okay? So that's how we assume the halacha. That as a son and a daughter, you can't peru urvu. Now, people point out, Rav Moshe Feinstein in one place points out, this is a very strange mitzvah. Because how could you, if the mitzvah is to have a son and a daughter, that's beyond human beings' control. Right? So when do you ever have a mitzvah that you can't control? You tell me, put on tefillin, put on tzitzis, sukkah, lulav, I can do all those things. But if you tell a person you have to have a son and a daughter, how can you tell a person, how can that be the mitzvah? How can there be a mitzvah to have a son and a daughter? Okay? You can't control that. That's the question. So I believe Rav Moshe writes in one place that, the mitzvah is to cohabit with your wife. And once you have a son and a daughter, so there are two mitzvahs of cohabiting. There's a mitzvah of cohabiting for peru urvu, and there's a mitzvah of cohabiting to just have intimacy for the sake of intimacy, of giving your wife pleasure and things like that.
It's third reason, wasn't
it? Kedushin? So, one second. You're
Barry
Cohen? The mother of Barry Cohen. So once you have a son and a daughter, then you fulfill, in other words, you don't, then there's no chiv anymore mitzad peru urvu of cohabiting with your wife. If a person was trying throughout his life, then you don't say he's mevatel the mitzvah if he didn't have a son and a daughter. You follow?
Yeah.
That's the idea. So the mitzvah is to try, and once you have a son and a daughter, then you still have to be with your wife, mitzvah, owner of things, that type of intimacy, but it wouldn't be any more mitzvah peru urvu. There is a separate mitzvah of la'erev al tanach yadecha that even if you had children and you would say peru urvu, there's still you need to have more children, because the Gemara says you don't know who's going to be your heir, so to speak, who's going to carry on your legacy, so to speak. Okay, so we pass like Beis Hillel, a son and a daughter. Now, there's another very interesting halacha, and if God forbid, see, it's also different than in regular mitzvah. Regular mitzvah, you took lulav, that's it. You did the mitzvah, right? You can't undo your mitzvah. But God forbid, someone has a son and a daughter, and say they die. So then, you're not mekayim peru urvu. It's not a thing that you mekayim. As a shem, will continue living. Then, as long as you're alive. And then they'll start the next generation. But if God forbid they die, or one of them dies, So then you still have a chiyuv of a son and a daughter. You don't say, well, oh, you had a son and a daughter at one point. No, it's to have a son and daughter who's continuing. Now, what if a person has a son and a daughter, and they died, but they left grandchildren? I mean, they have children already. So the halacha is, the Torah brings down, Mesu v'hinichu banim, Kenishesh lo leben ben obas, o ben labas, obas labas, he impera viravir. So if the children, God forbid, died, but they left children, the children have left children, so their grandchildren. So you became the mitzvah. Even if, say a person had a son and a daughter, and they each had a son, so and they died, the second generation died, God forbid. But they left children, each one left children, so then that he's become peruvu, even though the children that he produced, so to speak, with Hashem, is no longer here. But the third generation, there's a third generation. But say he had a son and a daughter, and the grandchildren only came from the son, and the daughter doesn't have any children, or vice versa. So then that's not good. So say he had a son and a daughter, and then they both died, and the son has a son and a daughter, and the daughter didn't have anybody. So at the end of the day, he has a son and a daughter from his offspring. That's not good enough, because he needs at least to have a child from the son and a child from the daughter that's still around. And the Beis Yosef says, even if both of them are sons, that's okay. And the Beis Yosef points out, but the Rambam's mashma, that that the third generation, you need a son and a daughter, even though the daughter comes from the son and the son comes from the daughter, that would be okay. Okay. So that's an interesting type of mitzvah, because it comes out that the mitzvah is never totally fulfilled. Until, you know, if God forbid, just because someone had a child doesn't mean that it's finished. Again, but if the child left offspring, so then it is finished from that child. So he needs a son and a daughter to be alive, or at least have offspring left in the world from the son and the daughter. Something from the son, something from the daughter. Then there's another interesting Gemara in Yevamos. What if a person is a non-Jew and has a child and then converts? Right? We know the din is that if a guy has a child, so he's related to the child, but then when he converts, he's no longer related to the child anymore. Because Gershon is Gayer, is what? Kikat and Shadola Domi. Right? So what would you say? If you had a child, say you were a non-Jew, and then you had a child when you were a non-Jew, and then you convert to Judaism. So you already had two children when you were non-Jewish with your wife, you and your wife, you're non-Jewish, and you had two children, a boy and a girl, and then you convert. So what's the din? Are you Mekayim Peruvu or you're not Mekayim Peruvu?
What's your name?
Ellie. Ellie Langham. So what I think is, because it's not one of the Shavuos of Noach, Peruvu, is it? It's not. It is not. I'm just making sure. That it must be something that doesn't for Jews. It must be something that inherently something that Jews are supposed to do. So it must be more of an extension of the Jewish identity than the population of the to populate the world. So because of that, I think that you have to have another two kids if you're able, because those kids are no longer your kids once you have converted.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with him? Everyone agree with Ellie Langham?
What if they convert?
Just another
what?
They convert, are you asking
them? That's what I'm asking. If you convert.
No, they convert.
If they convert. Okay.
After you convert.
If they converted, then I would say yes, because then you extended the Jewish religion.
Okay. So this is so the Gemara in Yevamos has a machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether you're Mekayim. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you have children when you are a non-Jew, and you have children, so you're Mekayim. You're Mekayim Peruvu. Even though you're not related to them. Mekayim Peruvu. Now the Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam's chiddush is that only if those kids ultimately convert. Right? The Rambam says that only if those kids, the Rambam in Perek Tezvav in Hilchas Ishus Halacha Vav Tezvav Vav Hayu lo banim b'giyusuv in his gaya hu v'heim. But the Gemara never says that. The Gemara just says, "How you labadim begiuso," and then you convert him. It never says that. That you mekayim. That you mekayim peruvu only if they convert. The Rambam adds that in. So what's shot in the Gemara? The Pashat shot in the Gemara is that since at the time that you were a goy, you were related to your non-Jewish kids, so even though you convert, so that's good enough, since you were related to them when you. But the Chiddush of the Rambam is that they have to convert also. But that's not going to help until you're still not related to them. Right? Because if you convert and then your son converts, so now you're both Jewish, but you're not related, you're not father and son. But that's the Chiddush of the Rambam, and only if they convert also are you Mekayim Peruvu. Which is interesting Nekuda. What about there's a famous piece in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezra Siman Aleph, where the Ramah writes Siman Aleph Sevav Haya Haben Mamzer Kiyem HaMitzvah. Because if your son is a Mamzer, you also became a Mitzvah. He also became a mitzvah. So what does that mean, your son is a mamzer? What's in other words, if a person is bar, simple shot, a person is bar on the arayas, right? Then then his son is a mamzer. They had incest with his with an ashishish with something like that. The son is a mamzer. So the Radvaz in the Tshuva writes, well, how can that be? Is it's a mitzvah of Bavera. Right? I mean, if you had relations with somebody that you're not allowed to have relations with, basically has relations with his aunt, with a married woman, something like that, so that kid is a mamzer. But the Ramah seems to say, if he's a boy, you can't peru. I mean, then you have to just have a girl. But that kid, even though you know he's a mamzer, it's still he's still the kind peru. So the Radvaz asked the kasha, but how could it be? It's a mitzvah b'avera, and that's so. He says that there must be that it must be that. That he's not Mekayim. So the Milchas Chinuch asked this question as well. I says, how can you profess to be Yosei? It's a mitzvah of Avera. So he says he sold that the mitzvah of Avera is only when the mitzvah and the Avera come at the same time. Like if you steal someone's lulav, so every time you pick it up, you're making a kinyan, you're stealing again. So when you're doing the mitzvah, you're doing the Avera. When Shein came by Puravu, the Avera was done when you did the Maisa Bia. But the mitzvah is not Makuyam until you have the kid. So it's not at the same time. So that wouldn't be considered a mitzvah baba vera.
So two questions. One is there such a thing as a girl mamzer?
Mamzeres, yeah.
Okay. And also, what about for the ger? He says his family converts. Can like they all marry each other in the same family?
Yeah. So technically, but they should be able to. We'll say that related, but. We have a thing, midrabanan, that anyone, people shouldn't think that that when you're going to Judaism, there's more coolers. You're going from, when you were a guy, there were more chumras. Now there are more coolers. People would say that you're coming from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala. But that's what the Milchus Chinuch says. And the there's a sefer Sde Yitzchok. Yitzchok Chias was the Av Bez Nabrod. And he wrote a letter. Very interesting. The Sde Yitzchok Simon Aleph is a letter that he wrote to the Milchus Chinuch himself. And he says that the reason why he doesn't think it's a mitzvah baba vera is that he thinks that a mitzvah bav avera is only said by a mitzvah that you need kavana. The way Rabbi Gedalia Berger explained to me that the pshat is that since you need kavana, so if the mitzvah is an avera, so that's chisor in your kavana. Because you can't be with kavana to do a mitzvah if you're doing an avera. But by a mitzvah that doesn't need kavana, like puravu, it's a result-oriented mitzvah. Because if you have the kid, you say a person, slept with someone but didn't have kavana that she should become pregnant or something like that. Didn't expect she was going to come, and she became. So she became pregnant. So you give him kind of a mitzvah. Mitzvah baba vera has nothing, doesn't need kavana. Mitzvah puravu, rather, doesn't need kavana. So the Stei Yitzchak says, so hu adinami, it doesn't need there's no din of mitzvah b'aveira as well. That's what it says in the Sefer Stei Yitzchak. Now, the big question that is discussed in the poskim, both the early poskim and the more contemporary poskim, is what if you produce a child with your semen, but you didn't have a maisabia with your wife? Are you mekayim the mitzvah of peruvu? This is in the Gemara Chagiga. This is known as the abra v'ambati, which means that there's like a bath, and the husband took a bath there, and some of his zera was in the water, and then afterwards his wife went into the same pool of water, and the zera got into her body and impregnated her, and.
Can that even happen?
You know,
what?
It
can't even happen.
Well,
I don't think
it would
happen.
Yeah. Okay, the Gemara speaks... You know, the Gemara speaks about it. The Sabra Bambadi, but the more modern question is that you have IVF, say, in other words, they take the woman's egg, the man's sperm, and they have them joined together outside the body, not through a regular intercourse, and then they implant it, you know, if it's successful, they implant it into her body. So basically it's her egg, his sperm, but there was no active intercourse, there was no maisabia. So the question is, are you mekayim peruvu in such a situation? What would you think?
I mean, if we're saying that you can be, if you can be Yotze Peruvu after you've converted, and we're saying like it's fine that they're not your children anymore, we seem to be saying that as long as you bring children onto this earth, no matter how you do it, it seems like it's Peruvu.
Well, the question is that only through a maisabia?
Why would you assume that? Nothing in the Sefer Torah would indicate that you need a maisabia to be Yotze Peruvu.
Well, the only thing that would indicate is, I think I told you from Rav Moshe, that the mitzvah of Peruvu is not having the children, but having the maisabia, because having the children, how could you be mitzvah and having children if it's not that's beyond your control?
That was pushing from the other end. That's like, how could you have mitzvah that's...
Right. So Al Korcha must be the mitzvah is not having the children, but having the relations. That's in control.
No, he's saying that the mitzvah is having the children, and the way you would go about that is having the relationship. But if you could go about it another way, of course, you'd also be yotze, because that's the mitzvah of the
mitzvah. Yeah. So we'll talk about it. I happen to think that you don't need a maisabia. That happens. That's what I really feel is the... But we'll see. So this discussion is, you know, in the Shulchan Aruch, and, you know... We have Dalat Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. Do we know what the Dalat Chalkei Shulchan Aruch are, Rabbi Yosef?
Nope.
Aruch Chaim, Yerideya.
Aruch
Chaim, Yerideya. Kol Shemesh Ben Ebenezer, right. Now, yeah. On each, you okay? Okay. In each of these parts of Shulchan Aruch, we usually... Two mefarshim on the sides. Either the Machane Ramon, like for example, the Aruch Chaim is the Magen Avraham on Tas. The Yerideya is the Shach and the Tas. And Kol Shel Mishpat is the Shach and the Sman. And Ebenezer is the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkas Machokik. Those are the two people. So. The Chalkas Mechokek says, Yesh L'stapek, I'm reading from Tzivkot Hei, Siman Aleph, Isha Shenis Abra Bambati Im Kiyim Ha'av Piri V'rivya V'mikri B'no L'chol Dover. Is this considered your son, and are you Mekayim Peruvu? So he has a suffix. So then, the Beis Shmuel quotes that he has a suffix, and he wants to bring a raya from the Hagos HaSmak that says that a woman is commanded that she shouldn't sleep on a sheet that another man, who's not her husband, slept on, because maybe he left semen on the sheet and she'll get pregnant from that semen. And then the father will be that other man, and we'll think maybe the father's her regular husband, but it's really the other man. And then they'll have this son, and who knows, maybe we're not going to know who the real father is, and you know, maybe this person will now marry his sister, you know, from, you know, the biological father. So you see from here that whoever provides the sperm is the father. So the Beis Shmuel says that he thinks that it's his son. It's his son, you know, even though there was no act of intercourse. So that's what the Beis Shmuel says. But the Taz says that he doesn't think that's a riot, because even though it's his son, that's L'chumra, we say he's his son. But maybe to mekayim the mitzvah, you need what? A kum vaseh. Maybe you need a kum vaseh, meaning you need a maisa. And if there's no maisa, there's no mitzvah. That's what the Taz wants to suggest. There were three banks of Frank. Has another suggestion here, and then I'll tell you what my suggestion is. The Pesach Frank has another suggestion, and that is that he says that even though the Taz says you're not mekayim the mitzvah, which is you can do a maisa, but maybe it patters you from the mitzvah. But say you had two children, a son and a daughter, and it wasn't from a maisabia. So it's sort of like, I think he quotes it, you know, there's a din of kisei hadam, right? So what if the blood was covered up by the wind? The wind caused the... So the mitzvah was... So you didn't do the mitzvah, but now there's no mitzvah to do anymore. So he suggested that... Someone makes this comparison, but he says, "No one out there in Bati, anyone can know when the mitzvah for Rishu Mishum Shulok Asa LaMaisa Mitzvah, and Shuloki Mitzvah. Have a Kabbalah Nikkor Ki in Peruvu in Shachshav, and would tell us mitzvahs Peruvu."
Oh, so I'll tell you what I think. I think that he became the mitzvah. Rabbi Gleif told me once that. If there's no ma'asebiyah, there's no mitzvah for a room. So I didn't think that would... I didn't think that... I thought not like that. And Rabbi Bali also told me he thought not like that. That if it's from your zera, then you can time for a room. Ah, there's no ma'asebiyah. No, so I think the pshat is like this. There's a famous kasha that they have, like this, by the mitzvah mila. There's a pasuk that says also below also that a woman is not chayiv to give her son a milu. The mitzvah is on the man, on the father, not on the mother. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, of course, milu's mitzvah says seishas my grandma, and the mitzvah says seishas my grandma, your potter. So. There shouldn't be. Of course, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that. The mitzvah says, "Shas Ma Grama," and the mitzvah says, "Shas Ma Grama,"
you are your partner. So what's the answer to the question? So there's various answers, but the Tosfos really gives an answer. And my friend Rabbi Daniel Arm explained it as well. This Tosfos really. And that the Tosfos really says, you're right. But the mitzvah of milah is not on the father, is not necessarily doing the maisa milah. The mitzvah is, because not everyone knows how to do a maisa milah. The mitzvah on the father is to make sure it's taken care of. You know, high in the oil, you know, make sure it gets dark. That's the mitzvah. So mela, that mitzvah, you can do b'yom malayim. You can call the oil at night too. So the chiddush is that you might think that a woman, since the mitzvah is not on the actual doing the ma'aseh chituk, but the mitzvah is making sure it gets done, so that you might think is, it's not a mitzvah cessation as my drama, which is not, because that could be done by Yom and Relayla. It's only the Maisa meal itself has to be done by Yom. So, to Mashmalon, then she's not even from Chuy in that. Also below Osa. Okay, that's the poster. So I thought, maybe you could say the same thing by Puruvu. That Puruvu is the result, to make sure it gets done. To have a child, to have two children. So the normal way of doing it is through intercourse, to having a ma'aseh biyah. But if for some reason the couple, you know, can't do it that way, so then it can be done in a different way, and it's still Mekayim the Mitzvah. In other words, Maisa Biyah is just a Hechi Timtza for the man Zera to fertilize the woman's egg. And that's the normal way to do it. But some couples, it doesn't work that way. So then they have to do it, not through intercourse. IVF, you know, different ways of doing it. But that's no less of the mitzvah than if you do it through the ma'aseh biyah. That's what, you know, similar to that, what the Tosfos Ritz said. It's no less of a... No less of a... The only thing is, when I told this over to Rabbi Gedalia Berger, he said to me, then, according to this, then maybe there's a chiyuv to do it. In other words, if a couple can't have a child in a regular way through intercourse, then according to this mahalach, maybe there would be a chiyuv for him to, do it through, a different type of procedure external to the body. You know, through his sperm and her. All right.
I don't know if you heard about, I think it was last year or something, that, I'm not sure, some Israeli soldiers wanted to donate to a sperm bank in case they got killed, so they could still, like, do the mitzvah, but, like, some rabbis were for it and some rabbis were against it.
Mm-hmm. Right, this comes up, Rechmon Otzlan, somebody has a young person has cancer or something like that and needs treatment. So sometimes what they do, because sometimes once you have treatment, then that could have an effect on the efficacy of the sperm to cause the egg to be fertilize the egg. So what they do is before they go for the chemo, they have sperm removed from them and they store it. So Bez Hashem, when they're ready to get married, and so sometimes Baruch Hashem, I've seen that they got better and the sperm count came back and everything was good. But it could be there's a chashash that it's going to be a problem, so. They have that sperm stored away,
you know, the discussion, you know, folks on Zerah the Batala, but then there's some folks can hold that it's not the Batala, but you're doing it because you want to have sperm to have kids and, you know, in the future. So there is a school of thought that says that if it's not through Maisabia, then it's not a Yeramakai Peruru anyway. So that I thought was not that way. I thought that there's no need for Maisabia. That Maisabia is just a Hefik Timtsa. And that's the normal way you do it, and that's the normal way you should do it if it works that way. But if, let's say, a couple of doesn't work that way, then they can do it in a different way. And he's Mikhail the mitzvah, just the same. Another discussion that's, you know, which is related to this topic also, sometimes from the woman's perspective, some women who do not have eggs that are viable, they have different medical issues and the egg is not viable. So there's a whole discussion about donor eggs. This is like a big topic. It's a topic of donor eggs. So there are three things with the donor eggs. Some say, you know, you should never do a donor egg. In other words, there's some folks can hold that you should. Him talking about, obviously it's not your wife's egg. You have to get an egg from someone else. And then the wife hopefully will be able to carry, be the carrying mother. Sometimes you don't even have that. Sometimes you have the man's sperm and one woman's egg and another woman's uterus, you know, which is obviously even more, you know, complicated, because you have to involve two women into the mix. So there's like this. There's some of the opinion that you should never do any of this. That's Rabbi Yashiv holds that way. This I heard from Rabbi Nachum Eisenstein, one of Rabbi Yashiv's people who's Mishamishim, that Rabbi Yashiv considers this Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim. The Mevalvel Zera, you know, your Zera and another woman's egg, and he doesn't go for that. And others disagree. Others say that if your wife can't produce, because so you can get an egg from someone else, then hopefully she'll at least be able to carry. And then there's a discussion who's the mother, the biological mother or the carrying mother, the one who supplied the egg or the one who's carrying. So, there's one side, as I said, you should never do it. But the outside that you can do it, then the two opinions, whether you should have to use a non-Jewish egg, or you could use a Jewish egg if it's from a single woman. So some say use a non-Jewish egg, and this way you'll convert the child. You know, there's a question. What makes you Jewish? Are you Jewish because we know it's your mother that makes you Jewish? But is it because her egg makes you Jewish, or is it because she gave birth to you, makes you Jewish? So that's a question. Rav David Feinstein said you have to assume lechumra, meaning either way. If the egg is not Jewish, you have to do a gerus, or if the egg is Jewish but the mother was who carried is not Jewish, you have to do lechumra, do a gerus lechumra either way. So some prefer, you know, doing a non-Jewish egg and then converting.
to the non-Jewish area and then converting. Because this way you don't have to worry, you know, about who it's from. You know, you get a fresh start, you know, in the guy. And others want to have from a Jewish egg, because they want, you know, Jewish genes, etc. So there are two different opinions on that. Again, within those that are matir to do such a thing. So I thought another tzad to do with a Jewish egg is because the husband's mitzvah of Peru. Because if it's a non-Jewish egg, so then you have to do Geirus, so then the husband's not related to the child, right? And then there's no Kiyum of Peru. But if you use a Jewish egg and a Jewish carrier, say best case scenario to it's a Jewish egg from another woman, but at least the mother's, the wife is the one who's carrying, if they can do that. So then at least some kind of peruvu, the husband. Because, well, if you hold, like, the sheet of, and if there's no vice bria, there's no peruvu. So then, okay. But I'm on the other side, that there isn't a kiyum of peruvu. Since there is a kiyum of peruvu, so then since there is a kiyum of peruvu, so then there's a tzad to say that you get a Jewish act or the Jewish carrier. And the only thing is, you have to make sure you go, you know, there are agencies that deal with these things. You have to make sure you have a proper nemanus and proper, you know, it's a whole process, and a proper shmira and a proper, you know, and all these things. But I would think that, you know, again, there are two opinions about that. There are three opinions in the whole thing, that either the whole thing is categorically improper, or if you say it's okay, then which should you prefer? And but again, I'm excited to have the Jewish egg and the Jewish carrier because I feel that the husband can potentially mikayim peruvu, but but once there's a non-Jewish egg there, then he's not mikayim peruvu, so then there's going to be a gerus. Some people do a gerus l'chumra even with Jewish eggs, because they're afraid that, you know, maybe, you know, somebody wasn't totally honest, and okay, that's a separate issue, but assuming that, you know, we can get the right supervision and the right amanus of who it is, so then there's a tzad to get a Jewish egg. Okay. So that's the that is the story of this. There is a discussion in the postgame about adoption. Is there peruvu with adoption? So I'm going to say, Reb Melech Shechter wrote an article, the RJJ Journal, of Shechter's father, about this.
Because there are some that say that maybe it's a partial kiyumu furvu, that you got al yasum b'sof peso. This is a whole discussion. There's also a discussion of yichud. In other words, normally a mother and a son, there's no issue yichud. The question is, does that only apply to a biological, or what about an adopted son? So that's, some say, they're adopted very young, so that has the same psychology like a biological son. And some say, no, it's only a biological son. So that was, a big discussion. But people take it for granted that, Baruch Hashem, they get married, they have children, and Baruch Hashem, in most cases, works out. But there are, cases that it doesn't work out, and then things become very complicated, and in terms of what avenue a person, wants to still, raise children, should they do? Adoption, you should know, is more commonly today done with a non-Jewish child. In other words, you get a little non-Jewish child and then they convert to ger katan. They do a ger katan. But some people don't want to do that. They dafka want to get a Jewish child. I know somebody who calls me periodically, a firm couple, firm man, who calls me periodically to remind me that he's looking for a Jewish child, a young, below, a young child to adopt. And that's what his, Rosh Yeshiva, his whatever, or, obviously he's been married a certain amount of time and they haven't been successful. And who knows, maybe Rosh Hashem will still be successful. But right now they haven't been, and they're looking in this avenue, and his Rosh Yeshiva told him not to do the idea of the get caught through. That's how people feel. It would be better if you could just get a Jewish child and raise a Jewish child, instead of converting a child. And if anyone ever hears of somebody, should let me know, because I know somebody who's looking to adopt a very young Jewish child to raise. But friends of mine who I know over the years who have been adopted, it was all non-Jewish children. And when there was issues of having that they couldn't have their own kid, they did get caught. That's the approach that been used. But again, life and birth, things that, Baruch Hashem, for some people go very easy. And for other people, it's not. The other issue that I should want to discuss about the mitzvah of Peruvu is a question which is going to be very relevant, a lot of you getting married, getting engaged, and a question about pushing off the mitzvah. In other words, going on birth control at the beginning of the marriage and not having a child right away after marriage. Again, assuming, Baruch Hashem, that most people will be fertile and will be able to have children, but some, for different reasons, will want to push it off. So the question is that problematic or that? So I have a whole shiur in mind about...
Why would that be problematic?
So the question is, in other words, is there a problem by postponing a mitzvah or not?
It could come to hurt you because you have no money.
Right.
So there are opinions that say that, you know, get married, you should have a child right away. But I'm very sympathetic to the view that you're espousing. Again, every situation has to be dealt with a proper guidance.
Hashem was there. Hashem will help you.
It's not true.
Hashem was there.
Right. So what I've seen in couples is sometimes just emotionally they're not yet ready. You know, it's a big jump into marriage, and they need to get used to that, and then they're ready. Then they'll be ready to take the next jump. But sometimes, you know, if two, you know, they say, "Kolos." I don't know who. Eliot. Someone said this before. It's not my own. Maybe Rabbi Eliot said it. Someone said it, that "Kolos koshos," meaning to start one new thing. You could do, but you have many new things at once. That could be haschalos kashas. If you embark on many new things, so there are a lot of emotional things. A lot of times, the marriage isn't even, the shalom bayis is even fully, I mean, the way it should be. And then they right away have a kid, and then God forbid they break. No one has a shalom should be in such a situation. But I've seen that I've seen situations where a couple who would not yet worked out shalom bayis the way it should be, and they were married and they were on birth control, and in the end it didn't work out. So when they parted ways, that was it. They didn't have to fight over custody of a child. And then I've seen situation where the marriage was rocky from day one, and yet they still went ahead and had the child. And then they separated, and then now they're on each other's throats on custody issues. So things have to be. So I disagree with Rabbanim will never give a heter for people to be on birth control at the beginning. But on the other hand, it has to be done responsibly, with a time frame, discussing it. You know, it shouldn't just be a hefker. And
why would I need to ask?
Please let me speak.
Okay.
Okay. In other words, to have something done in a responsible way, the right time for the right people. So, you know. Again, you know, obviously there should be a responsibility in each situation of what is being done. But I am open to listen to people's situation and not just say that there's no heter for this. But on the other hand, you know, a couple should, you know. Again, emotional things might take time. That's a separate thing. But I'm all okay. I mean, most of this is most best discussed privately with a cousin or a couple before they're getting married, or and discuss their situation. But the question at hand is, you know, what's the story about postponing a mitzvah, and there are heterim that are given that stay chemed, there are ariokos that stay chemed, there's a tzorah, then one could postpone a mitzvah for a proper reason, etc. So that's something that there's a shem, if any of you who are getting married, getting engaged, whatever, would like to discuss laws of Nida, as I said before, laws of these type of laws. I'd be very open to meet with anyone, any of you or your colleagues or whatever, to have these discussions. But the Peruvu is a very important mitzvah, but you're right. If the parent is not ready, then you're not benefiting the child, and So the parents, you know, has to be ready, and you know, and sometimes, you know, you can say I have to do this, I have to do that, and, you know, has to be some time where you're going to put this as. And again, life is complicated, especially in this. See, in the olden days, you have to realize we're in a generation where women work. That's the way it is. I mean, all the girls will be dating. They're gonna probably gonna have jobs or maybe getting MAs and different things. And that's the generation we're in. Whether that's the best thing or not, it's the reality of this. So the old days, you know, the man worked and the woman stayed home. So when she was married, of course she didn't have a child. You know, and today it's much more. It's much more complicated, so that has to be taken into account. There are a lot of things that have to be taken into account on these matters, but it's very important that when a child is brought into the world, be brought into the world responsibly. So the child should be a victim of a custody battle or a whole thing that will only cause grief to the parents and the child. And again, it has to be done with seichel, and it's not a free-for-all on the other hand then either. So, but that's something that, needs discussion, needs looking into. And again, no point in, you want to see all the makaros that have a share in line, kidum v'ifur b'mitzvahs, and everyone here has their own, you know, life story and situation, and has to be dealt with based on their own situation in life of when they're going to get first, when you're going to get married, and once you get married, when you're going to have a child. All these different factors are very, very important and shouldn't be dealt with lightly. Okay, so Puruvu, we had some basic yisodas here, Puruvu, and we have, I think, one more session. Right, next week is the last session, and we'll do in Yanei Chanukah, and Brachas will get pushed, I guess, next semester or something like that.